Welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I'm excited to be here with my co-host, Sarah Hodgson. More than a dog trainer, Sarah is truly your dog's best friend, and she knows you want to be your own dog's best friend, too. She's a people trainer for dogs, cheerfully bridging the gap between humans and canines. Sarah can help you and your dog communicate better. When dogs talk, Sarah listens. We'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the show and want you to know we've invited these companies to be here. To get a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for dogs and cats, send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Stay tuned tonight for Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney right after this show. This show is a production of Eight Paws LLC and When Dogs Talk, which are solely responsible for its content. Call us with any questions you have about your dog's behavior or training. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Give us a call. And we want to send a shout-out to all you folks in the Halo pop-up shop, Halo City Tales, New York City. Sarah, say hi, because Sarah's going to be showing up at the pop-up shop on one of the adoption nights and helping you guys make good adoption choices and make good marriages. Right, Sarah? You're a good matchmaker.
It's my favorite thing to do. I tell you, nothing gives me greater pleasure than connecting the right dog to the right people. Hi, everybody at the Halo pop-up store. I have a video to send you of my cat Halo eating Halo food for the very first time.
He was crazy for it. The Halo folks, when they said hi a couple, I guess it was only a week ago, and Sarah said, you know, now I have a name for this kitty that I found that was discarded at the side of the road in a beat-up carrier. I didn't have a name for him, and now I think his name should be Halo. So now he has, like, a halo over his head because Sarah gave him a fabulous home. And the nice folks at Halo, who are nothing but do-gooders, sent her this divine canned Halo kitty food, and her cat went nuts. So we're going to figure out, but with all the social media geniuses, how you can see the video that Sarah cleverly made of the very first time little Mr. Halo put his little face into some Halo food. All of you in the pop-up shop, just get on your cell phone and dial us up and ask a dog behavior training question. That's what Sarah's here for. 888-429-5471. We would love to hear from you. We already have a call. See, somebody's quick as a bunny. We have a call from Holly. Hey, Holly, welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend.
Hi, Tracy. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Holly.
What kind of question do you have for Miss Sarah?
Well, I have a question. Sarah knows my dogs, but she doesn't know about this question.
It's you.
It's sort of about their relationship with each other. I have
Hang on. Before you ask it, you have to tell everybody else. What kind of dogs do you have? What are their ages? Where did you get them? What are their names? We need to set the scene.
Okay. So I have Max, who I call Collie-ish. He's a rescue, and he's 1.5. And I've had him since he was about 7 months. And then we got Fritz after that, and he's 1 year. He's from the same rescue, but they didn't know each other there. And we call Beagle-ish. So I don't really know what they are, but that's as close as we can come.
Well, that sounds like a good combination. Sarah, we're having a little bit of another technical difficulty. This is the problem with the Mac and PC people not playing as well together as dogs. So if you could disconnect, Doug, our wonderful engineer, is going to reconnect with you, and that would be great.
Doug asked if I'm on speakerphone. And
it's no good, darling. Sarah, we're on the air live, so I'm asking you that we're going to disconnect, and I'm going to talk to Holly. We're going to disconnect because your connection isn't good, and we need everyone to be able to hear you clearly. And the number that you should call is Sarah will have to call into the show. Sarah, you know our number, 888 929-5471. So Sarah's going to call in. So, Holly, these dogs you've had for how long? I'm sorry, I got distracted by technicalities.
That's okay. So Max we got in March of 2012, and Fritz we got in October, this past October.
And they've
so
got
not that long.
Not that long. And they both were rescues, one thinks.
Yes. They were both Southern rescues, and I actually met Sarah because as I was leaving the rescue with Max, they said, oh, by the way, you really absolutely have to call Sarah Hodgson. So
no
I did,
kidding.
And that's how we met.
And so this is in the Westchester area, and any of you listening, and by the way, any of you in the Halo pop-up shop, we love that you're there. We love that you're doing good things for other animals, because the whole point of the Halo City Tales New York City pop-up shop is to raise money for the Halo Pet Foundation that gives grants to shelters and rescues. But Sarah Hodgson, your very own, your dog's best friend, also does classes in Westchester and can help out with any of those questions that you have. Doug, if you would call Sarah, that would be great. The number is right there, Doug. And if you call her, then we can reconnect with her. All right, Doug, dear engineer, if you could call that number, there you are. Okay, yes, I'm seeing it, Sarah, and Doug is going to be on it in just a second. Holly, how many classes did you take with Sarah before it really helped out?
I actually never got a chance to do Sarah's classes, but she did come over to the house and work with Max in the beginning, because he had some issues with dog aggression, which she actually worked out in about 10 minutes, literally.
So that's one of the interesting things. Sarah's with us. Hey, Sarah, welcome back.
I'm here.
Excellent. Okay, just lower your voice a little. We'll stay calm. Just lower your voice. So we haven't heard the problem yet. All we've heard is Holly describing how these dogs came through the Southern Rescue and how you helped the dog aggression issue instantly. All right, Holly, what is your question tonight?
Well, so the question is, I didn't really want to mention the dog aggression, because Sarah definitely worked that out at the very beginning, and it's not an issue of aggression per se. But they have very different temperaments. Fritz, the younger one, is very, very calm, and he would like to just sort of lie in the garden all day and watch the birds. And Max, on the other hand, would like to run and chase things and chase frisbees, and he's very active and very exuberant.
Right.
So they play together, but they play very differently, and I think that Max really sort of annoys the you know what out of
yes.
Fritz, and I he's not aggressive with him at all, but they I think that they play very differently, and I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
That's a good question, right, Sarah? Because sometimes people have two dogs of the same breed and they think, well, this is great, because they really do play in a similar way, because two Goldens play in a certain way, Weimaraners play in a certain way. But what do you do with people who have those very different players? That is a good question.
And
no, it's an excellent question, and I, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking Max is like Ferdinand the Bull, or Fritz is like Ferdinand the Bull, and Max is like Michael Phelps. You know, he's
yes,
like, let's go another lap.
Yeah.
And it really, it's funny, because I'm sure you got the second dog to keep, you know, Max company and to play with Max and burn off a lot of that energy. But at least for the time being, you've almost got an extra project on your hands, because you've got to get Max's energy off for Fritz, or Fritz is really going to be very dismissive and snappy as he gets into sexual maturity in another couple of years. He's not going to – neither dog, his personality is going to change. Demonstratively,
mm-hmm.
And what you're telling me is Max really would be a wonderful agility dog. He would be great at fly ball. There are all sorts of adventures he would like to go on. That's his personality. You're not going to change. Whereas Fritz is happy just laying in the flower bed and relaxing and watching the birds, and that's really not going to change. So you can find some mutual game to get them involved with, But the bottom line is you're still going to have to go out there and play with Max, and you're going to have to take Max running, and they seem to enjoy trailing together. I know you hike with them, and that's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
But again, Max is going to be out slaying dragons and chasing the deer through the trails, where Fritz will be happy to amble along right alongside you.
Well, one
so
thing,
unfortunately, there's no grand tip to modifying the situation or changing the situation, because they're beautiful just as they are, but they are very, very different.
Well, one thing I would suggest, especially given that any dog, no matter whether he's ever been crabby to another dog in his past or not, is that, it, as you pointed out, Sarah, the more he gets demanded things of him that he doesn't want to do, and he's not his space is not being respected, he
right.
may wind up snarling, growling, or eventually, if the other guy's like, come on, he might snap or bite and unjustifiably.
I'm worried
so
about that happening.
What I would say, because Sarah often, I think the difference between Sarah and me is she sees things from the dog's point of view, and I see it more from the parental point of view. I would say you need to manage them to not be left alone together when you're not there. They need to have separate space, more for the stargazer than for the peppy one. And I think mm-hmm. that to leave them alone together is asking for trouble, because there's no parent there. I mean, anyone could have two kids, one who likes to be a bookworm, the other one who comes, come on, let's play a frisbee, let's go play flies up, and is bugging the one with the book, who finally, you know, socks him in the jaw, and he becomes the bad guy. But really, the parent needed to say, you guys have separate rooms or separate play spaces. I think that they should not be left alone together when you're not there. And when you are, as Sarah said, you've found things that they can both do. And if the exuberant one steps over the line, you're there to go, enough, or you throw a ball in the opposite direction, whatever it may be. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Can I add one thing?
Please.
You know, there's so many ingenious dog toys on the market. You've got your busy cubes. You've got to have some kind of projectile ball thing that they have for fly ball. That sounds ridiculous, but if you find something that Max likes that you can activate with one of these toys, give Fritz his own personal space. And just to reaffirm what Tracy said in terms of the three of you being together, you have to teach Max the concept of that's enough. And there are some products out there that can support you. And as long you don't want to be disciplining him directly, but you can spray a boundary between them with an air corrector or something. But teach Max the concept of that's enough when you see Fritz giving him a signal that he's had enough, so that Max, again, learns to reference his brother socially, not just mm-hmm. make demands of him all the time.
Mm-hmm. So it's more of a human management. Given their different personalities, human management would come to play. I myself find the air correctors a little over the top. I think it's like going to Mace instead of saying, leave me alone. I mean, if you've tried just your voice or just your body language, which is something that you teach so well, Sarah, and the dog ignores you and the dog keeps on coming, and having a short little leash that you can hold on to and simply redirect him,
leave him away.
If none of that works, for me, that air corrector, I mean, with Weimaraners, I would never have it in the house. I have
three
in the house.
Right, and some dogs are so afraid.
Yes, and that noise
intensifies their fear.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, although it's nice that these companies have sent all of us in the field, so many of them, my house is full of air correctors. I'm hoping somebody tries to burglarize my house so I can use it on a human. Because if I used it on at least my dogs, who do pay attention when I go, that's enough, break it up, then, you know, I think everybody would be shaking in their shoes. But, I mean, this goes to
no,
sort
but
of...
it's a good point. It's a very good point, because you do want verbal control. And what we're really teaching Max to do is reference Fritz, to notice his posture. And this is why he was so socially kind of inept when you first got him, because he didn't have that early socialization and he doesn't know how to read normal body posture from a dog. So just what Tracy said, having a little leash on him, lead it. When Fritz is beginning to show that he's had enough, take the leash and just lead Fritz away and say, that's enough. And until he begins to notice, hey, my brother's communicating the same thing my mom is here. That's enough.
There's actually some really cute, really cool short leashes. Sarah will know the name of them. Maybe Sarah even. If you don't have this product.
I designed them on Amazon.
Oh, my
God.
I was just going to say, if you don't have this product, it would be perfect because I don't see it anywhere. Just like your long line is really great to teach the off-leash freedom. I once had a trainer that gave me one. It's so short. It's like a leash for a finger lead,
I call it.
There you go. This is something
people should
have.
If you type in finger lead into Amazon, it'll come right up. It's the size of a finger. It's a little
hoop. And it's made by Sarah.
By me.
I think in your basement.
So this is a good thing. Finger lead. I really think this is something to recommend to people. We all could use it.
And you can, there's an ebook on my website, whendogstalk.com. If you type in ebook finger lead, you'll get a little 5-page book on how to use it.
Who doesn't love that? This is a really cool thing to have. Trying to grab for a dog's collar, first of all, some dogs really don't like their collar grabbed, A. B, it's harder to grab and then get your finger around properly. And with the leash hanging, what I've found, Sarah, when I used to use it on dogs when I first adopted them, and there were issues, not this exactly, but management of your physical space issues, just by having that little finger lead hanging from their collar in itself reminded them they're not in charge. There's another connector that somebody, that human, could actually attach to, and it kind of smartens them up a little bit. They're not quite as cocky or arrogant. At least that's my experience. Mm-hmm. So I think the finger lead is a marvelous tool to have in almost any household. It's just a great management tool. If anything, if things like the dog that's jumping up on people at the door, you get finger lead on, you just get a hold of it. Doesn't it make life easier, Sarah? Nice work to design that.
Thank you. I love it.
I think it's great.
Nice for my kids. They can just grab the dogs and lead them around, and they're not just choking them.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabulous.
That's
nice. And then they can also let go.
So, Holly, we have to go to a break, but did that help you out?
Yes, definitely.
Just what
absolutely.
You needed, right? More management.
I have the finger lead, and I'm going to use it.
Fantastic.
That's a great idea.
We're sorry to have to give you more things to do. It seems cruel of us since you already clearly have children and another dog, just what you need, another management tool. But
that's
women
okay.
multitask.
That's okay.
Women, we can take it all on, right?
That's right. Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks
thank you
for
so
calling,
much for
Holly.
Calling.
It's good to hear your
take
voice.
Care. We're going to go to a break when we get back. You know, we'd love people to call from the Halo pop-up store. If you're considering adopting a dog and you already have one, this is why Sarah is so valuable. Stop before you make a move. Maybe there's things you should consider about personality, temperament, energy level. These are all things Sarah can help with. So if you're in the Halo pop-up shop and you've already been to an adoption event or there's one upcoming, Sarah is going to be at the shop. We don't have the date yet, but she will. But in the meantime, call us here, 888-429-5471. We'll be right back after this break. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feelaway diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Your Dog's Best Friend, and Sarah Hodgson, WhenDogsTalk.com, is your dog's best friend. Give us a call with any questions, behavior issues you have with your dogs. 888-429-5471. And any of you who've tuned in a little late, Sarah had a great surprise box this week after she chose to name her newly rescued cat Halo after the wonderful Halo folks. Those of you at the pop-up store know how wonderful they are. Sarah, tell a little about what it was like when this darling kitty that you rescued from the side of the road where he'd been thrown in an old carrier, what was his little expression when you opened that first can of Halo kitty food?
Well, you know, it's fun because my husband was there videotaping it on my phone, and I have a video of him rubbing against me, and then as soon as I poured the food in, he about dove out of my arms into the food. And the funniest thing is my little dog, whose name is Bamboozle, Boozle for short, thought I was opening the can for him, so he's in the video too. And when I finished feeding the cat, I gave Boozle a chance to lick the can, and he was very pleased with himself.
I can well imagine. It is pretty darn tasty.
I tell you, I could eat it myself.
Exactly.
If we were super hungry.
That's right. If we were in a pinch, we certainly could. So
It has peas in there. It's got all sorts of yummy-looking vegetables, and it smells delicious.
It's good stuff.
No more of those canned foods that reek. This smells like
mom's
chicken.
Good point. Exactly. So I think that we're very grateful for that generosity. And of course, they're most appreciative that you rescued him, because their image, their brand, their karma is all about rescue and adoption. And by the way, I know so is yours. So I have a question for you. This is a good one that came in from a wonderful special friend of the show last night, Dog Travel Experts. Her name is Carrie Boyko, and she writes the All Things Dog blog, which is a great blog. We must get our wonderful social media guru to hook us all up, because they need to know what we're doing. We need to know what they're doing. Here's a good question. I've never quite heard this one before, but I think it's one that you'll have some ideas about. I've got a low-pressure storm system hovering over us for several days. I'd love to hear truly new ideas for keeping my dogs busy while playing indoors. We use laser tag, frozen Kongs, treat balls, and other mental games and training. More ideas? So, you know, myself, I would say these are all things that involve equipment, which Carrie of All Things Dog Blog has certainly been sent by the companies that make them, as have you and I. But you and I have talked about tricks. Now, Carrie may be out to dinner tonight, may have to listen to this on podcast. I asked her if she could call in, but she hasn't, so I'm thinking she couldn't. I would love you, because you have a really great book with tricks in it, and it's been a big passion of mine to encourage more people to teach their dog tricks, to exhaust them mentally, to connect with them, to communicate with them, and in this case, to fill up a kind of a rainy day game. Can you talk about some of the favorites that you have, Sarah, and step-by-step tell us, probably with the simplest first, a trick or two that you think is a beauty and that you could maybe describe to people verbally without being there physically?
Yeah, well, I love the opportunity always to talk about tricks, because I have four dogs, and they all know vastly different tricks. So whenever I'm approaching someone about teaching a trick, I ask them, what is your dog's passion? And that's where we begin. So some dogs love to roll on their back and wiggle around, and some dogs wouldn't rest on their side if you asked them to.
The
fun tricks for dogs are the tricks that make their people laugh. So if I have a dog that's very paw expressive, I'm going to start teaching them paw, but then I'm going to hold out a piece of paper or a index card, and I'm going to hold that in my hand, and I'm going to teach my dog to paw the index card. Then once my dog learns paw it, as in paw the index card, I'm going to start putting that index card on the door. I can put it on a cabinet door. I can put it on a garbage can.
All right, then let me ask you this. That is a really cool idea. But how do you teach them what is the mechanism where you say the word paw and they touch the card? Is that the idea that when they touch the card, you then say the word? Is that how it works?
No, you first teach them to give you their paw. And
how?
Then,
how do you teach them that?
Well, I generally take a bit of their dog food if they have a passion for it, or a ball if they have a passion for it, and I hold the treat in one hand, and I open my palm in front of their chest with the other.
Okay.
First, I have to determine if they're right pawed or left pawed, and which one's simpler. With some dogs, just seeing the food, they raise their paws. Other dogs, you can tickle their shoulder muscle very lightly with your hand, and this wiggles their paw up. I'm trying to get my sound right. I'm getting a lot of messages from
you.
No.
Those messages are to the engineer, not to you. I want you to concentrate on the question.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a hard time concentrating because I'm reading all these messages.
Don't be reading that. Those are all to the engineer. You're just a little teeny bit loud. It's not important. The people in the back row can hear you. That's fine. So
okay,
how do you – so go back even further. How do you tell if a dog is left pawed or right pawed?
You know, if you're mindful of your dog and you watch how they play with another dog, or how they maybe hit a busy cube, or they even start to dig a hole, there are ways you can tell where their paw strength is. But if you don't know that, you can just see which paw they raise with more ease. You can do, you know, you can play the little shoulder muscle game on one side, the shoulder muscle game on another side. By the way, I do have a video on my video log on my site that shows how you teach a dog to give paw. That's on my YouTube channel. So
how do people get to that? That would be very interesting to have. How do they get to your YouTube channel?
They just type in Sarah Hodgson or When Dogs Talk into YouTube, and I pop right up. Or they can just go onto my website, and under tips, they'll see videos, and they can find it there.
That would be really helpful. So somebody can watch the video that helps them teach their dog the word paw, and they're holding the index card. So
first they do paw. So when I say paw to my dogs, which I do with the Halo Pop-Up treats, because they also sent me treats for the dog.
Yummy.
And I had each of my four dogs do a different trick for their Halo Pop-Up trick.
Nice.
Which I have sent, and I will put on my Facebook page in the next 2 days. When I'm teaching paw, it just means to shake my paw. Then after the dog has that trick down, you can introduce an index card and teach paw it, as in paw the index card,
okay,
which you first start teaching by placing it in your hand.
Got it.
So the dog learns that when they see the index card and they hear the word paw it, they hit it with their paw.
Cool.
Then I can teach my dog to dribble a ball. I can teach my dog just by teaching them slowly to hit the index card. I can put the index card on a door and teach them close it, or a cabinet door. I can put it on a drawer. I can cut the index card down. I can put it on a light. I can teach them to turn the light on and off. If I have a very paw expressive dog, I can use that index card cut down to various shapes and sizes to teach them how to manipulate and turn on and help me out with little chores in the kitchen. And
wow.
Very helpful. My dog, Hootenanny, my little blonde dog, which you can see her picture on my site or on the Facebook page, she's very, very paw expressive. So she can do just about anything with her paw.
Wow.
Now, my shepherd, on the other hand, does a lot with his nose. So I did a very similar thing with an index card, and I taught him touch. So when I hold out an index card and say touch, he will touch it with his nose. I first just got started, and again, there's a website, I think a 2 or 3 part, video on how to teach the command touch with a card. Wow. Once you teach your dog to do that, you can, again, involve them in doing things with their nose, rolling a ball. You can teach them to open and shut things with their nose. But there's so many creative tricks that you can teach a dog that are both fun for you and so engaging with your dog, because then once they learn to open and once they learn to close a cabinet or a drawer, think about how many cabinets and drawers you open all day long.
Yeah, but not only that, Sarah, the incredible thing is this is how you teach. Now I've never known how they taught dogs that are assistance dogs for people that are disabled. They might be in a wheelchair. They may have some muscle wasting disease. I'd never known how a dog could learn to switch on and off light switches, pick up things that are dropped, open and shut the fridge. Now you're explaining it because you teach them this object, or it's not really an object, this card, and then you put it in different applications. And as you say, if you can use your imagination, it engages the dog's imagination, and it's a good mental strain for them. What does she mean by this? Oh, she's happy when I push with my nose or I pull with my paw. That's pretty darn cool. So
there's foundation tricks that are the basis for all our behavior that include nose, paw, and fetching skills as well, learning to hold things or pick things up. And you're exactly right. This is Canine Companion for Independence, which is one of my all-time heroes is Jennifer Arnold, who wrote in Through a Dog's Eyes, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And started the company in Georgia.
Isn't this cool? So Carrie, of all things Dog Blog, which is a wonderful special friend of Dog Travel Experts, and I highly recommend it, now you have some pretty fun things to do with your dogs. And, of course, as you pointed out, Sarah, but before we go to a break, you pick whatever the strength or the aptitude or the inclination is of each dog, and you utilize that. You put their particular skill set to work and let them kind of dictate what you can teach them by what comes naturally to them, whether it's left-sided or right-sided, if their nose or their paws or even body stuff. Super cool. All right, we're going to be right back after this break. We'd love to hear any questions you have or a trick you'd like to know how to do and you can't figure out how to begin it. 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxaCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxaCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to your dog's best friend, Sarah Hodgson, marvelous dog trainer. WhenDogsTalk.com is her incredibly chock-full website that has these videos, which I have to tell you, I'm going to be looking at them because I think that Sarah, I have dogs that the three I have now, I haven't really taught tricks to. My problem is that if I have one who seems sort of trickability kind of dog, the others get really jealous if I can ask that dog to do things and then I act all excited like you're supposed to. And even if I don't give him a physical treat, I'm just like treating him like he's a genius. and the other ones want in on the action, but they're not really trick type dogs. So do you think it's best to, if you have multiple dogs, to do this, I don't even call it training, this fun, this games, separated from the other dogs? Sarah?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Okay. Did you hear my question?
I heard your question, and it's definitely a conundrum because, like you said, some have such a stronger aptitude and they long for learning like something new every day.
Yes.
And they're excited by the challenge, and other dogs kind of get miffed that there's so much enthusiasm and they just want their biscuit and their pat behind the ear and they don't want to have to work too hard for it. And your time is more limited when you have four dogs. So we have a little routine after dinner, and they all have to sit, and they all have to wait their turn, and I ask them each to do a trick. And usually when I ask for one paw, I get three or four. And when
right.
I ask one to bark, I get one or two that
yeah.
do. But, you know, you can do mommy and me time where you take one of your dogs to a part of the house or to a park, or you have your husband take a couple and you give them, maybe, you know, sometimes I'll give three of my dogs a bone and I'll work with my little puppy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you gotta kind of wing it when you have multiple dogs and find something that'll work. In the fall and the early spring, I can put the three in the car because they love to ride in the car and then run in and work with one of them. But I do hear you on the jealousy thing, and, you know, one's always the superstar and the others are just sitting there.
Yeah, I'm sure
mystified.
That happens to people with their kids. They're human kids, too. All right, well, that was very helpful, and I'm going to look at the video because I lost my kind of enthusiasm for doing these tricks, and yet and the way you describe it is great, and yet I know from the past with a couple of dogs I've had who yearned to do things and yearned to, you know, let's do some more. Teach me something else. They were just that they had the student mentality and they felt so proud and excited to do it. And it did help kind of calm them down. You have a question from Josh in Michigan, which is one that I've had this experience myself. And I don't know, I hope you haven't had it yet, at least with Halo. Why does my dog only chase the cat outside and not in the house where they get along very well? I mean,
that it's when I say it will seem obvious, but it doesn't seem obvious when you're living. And I'm sure it's very frustrating because it's, you know, what he's seeing in action is a predator and prey. Inside, the cat can get high on furnishings. The dog and the cat have a very comfortable relationship. But the interesting thing about dogs is they're extremely nearsighted. So when they're outside and there's space separating them, the cat doesn't have the same scent identification. There's not the close proximity. And when the dog begins to chase the cat, I wish I knew the cat's name, but let's just say it's Max. When the dog begins to chase Max, the cat, and the cat immediately sees the predator because his eyesight is also attuned to things coming directly at him, you have a dynamic that's completely outside of their relationship in the house. So what he needs to do is he needs to work on his dog's prey drive, especially with this shaped animal. Might be okay for his dog to chase a deer, but he can't chase a small cat-looking thing. And he has to work on some basic obedience so that when his dog kicks into prey drive, he can call him back.
That's a really good advice because it's that motion where a cat in the house, if he does bolt and seem to be running, even if he were to sort of catch the dog's attention and the dog would think of going after him, as you point out very well, the cat has vertical places to get up on furniture. We hope they have a great cat tree on a shelf, on a counter. Outside, the cat, until he reaches a tree, and even if it's a cat, well, the truth is we're pretty much against cats being outdoors because they're not going to live very long. It's just really unsafe. But let's say you live in the middle of absolutely nowhere and there's no cars around, no feral cats to bite them or to give them diseases, no wild animals to kill them. By the way, no one lives in such a place, so the cats are in jeopardy. But nonetheless, some people insist on letting their cats out sometimes. that cat has nowhere to escape to. And I guess the dog kind of knows that because it's a wide open space. And also it's the thrill of the chase, right? I mean, you get that button pushed.
Exactly.
I had my Weimaraners that are supposed to be, I didn't find this out until after I'd adopted the first one and then the second one, terrible with cats. They are hunting dogs. They really are. And they have a strong prey drive. They were fine with my two kitties until the day outside, because this cat had gotten out. He was meant to be an indoor cat, but he'd figured out the dog door before we figured out how to have him not use the dog door. They took Alf after him and Sarah. Up a tree he went. And I thought I was going to have to call the fire department, who, by the way, do not get cats out of trees, because I thought, how will he ever get down? They scared him to death. And eventually began to do the same thing in the house. So I would say to Josh in Michigan, Sarah's advice is really spot on, because if you don't start to interrupt that prey drive with that cat, or fine with a deer if you wish, right? You're right. At least right. Not with something that's a cat-like creature. And the dog gets the taste of that feeling. Eventually, he's going to get a taste of the cat. And that's what happened with my dogs. They began to do this indoors, and they did a whole pack thing against the kitties, and it went very poorly. So,
aww.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't kill the cats, but they got some fur off of them, and it became a huge management issue where cats had one room and the dogs had the rest of the house. And now the dogs, who'd lived with these cats all their life, were waiting for the door to open so they could go after the cats, which had been their pals. So, you know, it's really that interspecies thing. I want to talk for a second about something that you've brought up before, and I had never heard it. So I did a little reading about it, and you're so right. And I just wanted to talk a little about this issue of dogs' vision, Sarah, which is something you bring up frequently in terms of understanding dog behavior, and you're the only dog trainer I've ever heard do that. But before I ask you a little more about it, I want to give the number again to any of you that are still in the Halo pop-up shop. We hope you're enjoying your dog's best friend. Someday, very soon, you'll be enjoying the wonderful Sarah Hodgson right in the pop-up shop on one of the adoption days to help do some matchmaking. But in the meantime, 888-429-5471. We'd love to have you call. Sarah, you often talk about the fact that dogs don't have great vision from afar. They're nearsighted. They can't see far well. And I'd never heard anyone say that. So I went to my library, which is full of endless books about dogs and cats. And the first one I looked up was a marvelous book by a great professor, I guess you could say John Bradshaw is a professor, Dog Sense. And it's very scholarly and smart. And he writes about the fact that dogs can't see well up close. Did you know that too?
Yeah. I mean, it's a different sense for dogs than it is for us. They have no binocular vision, which means they have a blind spot directly right in front of them. And it's very blurry. Their vision is the intended purpose of a canine's vision is to track motion at a distance, not to identify.
That's right.
At all. Their sense of smell. Just as we can't perceive doing that, they can't perceive, they don't have the level of cones, they don't have the clarity, the acuity we have. It's a different sense altogether. We can't really even fathom it.
No, we can't, because you're still right about the nearsighted, because then I went to another fantastic book I have by Bruce Fogel, who's just a fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know him. And his book is just called Dog, The Definitive Guide for Dog Owners. And it's very, very technical and scientific and scholarly. And so now I learned, well, yes, Sarah's right that they can't see far, but it turns out right up near they can't see either. And forever I'm thinking, what's up with this dog? I just dropped a little piece of chicken right there in front of them. Can they see it? I can see it. But in fact, they find it with their nose. They don't see that little piece of chicken that's right near them. So the Bruce Fogel book said that at a distance, your Cocker Spaniel, or any other breed, but he happened to say Cocker Spaniel, would need glasses to drive or see the blackboard. That's exactly what you said. Pretty cool.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I write for the Huffington Post, and my article that's going to probably be up tomorrow or Monday is called Does Your Dog Need Glasses? And I
come
write all
on
about it.
Seriously, people should not think I planned this, although I'm thrilled that I did. you guys, we're definitely going to be, you know, it's all over Sarah's Facebook page and her website, When Dogs Talk, but it's a really wonderful series that you're doing, Sarah. But how ironic, I've been picking up on this the past few weeks since we've had the show and thinking, this is such an interesting point that only you make. It's unique to you. Believe me, I've had talked to a million dog trainers. I've read every book that's ever been written. No one brings it up. And you bringing it up is so smart because it helps people figure out why their dog, either very close up or very far away, isn't having the response that we're having. They're having a different experience. So
it's fascinating. I just find everything I learn about dogs, adds another layer, adds another page to my book of understanding and loving them and appreciating how tolerant they are of this world that we force them to live in.
Where we do often force them to live in a world that's really not so natural. I'm going to tell you a little anecdote that I think you'll like because you teach a lot of dog classes, you teach a lot of people, you write a lot. And I think this is very, very helpful for an understanding of our dogs. I used to be an EMT for 8 years in East Hampton, New York, where I lived, all volunteer fire and ambulance on the east end of Long Island. So very interesting training that goes on constantly by law and by ethics. You are constantly retrained. And there's EMT conferences in various places, and you go and you take a bunch of courses. And there was a course that I took on the geriatric patient because many of us in the emergency response field see a lot of older folks because a lot of older folks have medical issues, right? Or they're living alone, so they call EMS instead of having a mate or a spouse that might help them or take them to medical care. And this particular teacher did something that would be really a cool kind of little tool that you could do your own version of. They tried to make us, not that we weren't already compassionate, heck, we were already being volunteer ambulance people, right? But to make us more understanding of what the experience of being old is like for an old person. They said, you know, you're on the supermarket line and there's an old person in front of you and God, you're so annoyed. They're fumbling with their wallet and their keys and they can't get out their money and their change and oh, they're making the line so long and you're so cross. He said, I need a volunteer from the audience. So somebody went up and he put a pair of glasses on them that were glasses that would distort your vision. And then he put a big pair of mittens on the person's hand. And then he put earmuffs over their ears. And he said, now go take the coins out of that purse. And he was able to experience what it was like. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, cool. And I also I love old people. I think they're the best.
I know, me too. Me too. I mean, they're the ones I love and I respect and I admire and they're strong and they're brave and they deal with so much. Well, I think I have horrible vision. I mean, I cannot see far at all. I think it would be really cool to have a class, if you know, maybe with students that were more eager to really understand their dog's experience, where I don't know if you would cover
some bionic nose.
Yeah, cover one eye and say to people, that's what it looks like. Because in this book by Fogel, the dog book, he said that dogs cannot, they see that just like you said, Sarah, they see that motion at a distance, but they can't make out that it's you. And if the wind isn't running the right way, they can't smell you either, but they're so adapted, if you will, so clever, that they tell who you are and what you are by your gait. Now, I have horrible vision. If my glasses weren't on, I realize that I can actually, maybe I'm nearly as smart as a dog, figure out what that thing is out there by how it moves, which of my dogs it is, or even which human it is, both sort of size and the way they move. So I think that if anybody can't see far, if they're nearsighted, take your glasses off and spend 10 minutes or 5 minutes experiencing the world as your dog does, where at a certain distance, it's fuzzy for them, right? And I think that this is something
I can't even make out one letter on my computer.
And
I'm maybe 20/40. Our dogs are 20/80. I mean, they are really, really blind. They're legally blind. They've got, somebody wrote that they can see about 1/6 as well as we do. But, I mean, they just don't rely on that sense.
And therefore, we have to be aware that we have to sort of augment the information that we're giving them if we're expecting them to go go to this place or get that thing or do what we want. We have to work with what their senses can do. So anyway, we have to go to another quick break, but I just wanted to really compliment you on this awareness that you have and this awareness that you want us all to have, and to say that it's corroborated by other scientists, but even with humans, we have to realize that many of us have compromise in how we experience the world, and we need to be a lot more compassionate and see things from the point of view of each other as well as from our dog. So we'll be right back after this break. Our number, if you want to give us a shout, is 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And to get $5 off for a first-time order, if you've never had The Honest Kitchen before, put DOGTALK5 in the code box at checkout. And, Sarah, I'm going to send you some samples of The Honest Kitchen because it's really yummy.
I love The Honest Kitchen.
It's really cool.
I was so excited. I've turned so many people on to The Honest Kitchen. And I was so excited to hear that it's a sponsor of the show.
Nice.
Send me samples. I love Honest Kitchen.
Absolutely. I'll send you some flyers or pamphlets, whatever you call them, brochures you can give out to people too, because people, for them, it's like a kind of a new idea. Raw, dehydrated, say what? They aren't sure. So here's the thing.
It's fabulous.
I'm so glad you like it. I'm going to send you a bunch of samples. You can give them, even maybe if you're feeling generous, you could share them with some of the folks in your puppy classes. That's something that we'll have to talk about as the weeks go on. If you have a puppy class or something starting soon, to kind of let people know, because if they're in the New York area, in the Westchester area, they could meet their very own Your Dog's Best Friend, who they're, of course, getting to know more and more as the weeks go on. Well, we're sorry for any technical challenges today, folks, but we still had a good time, and we still shared ideas and shared information and felt inspired by people's questions. I'm very excited, Sarah, to try some of your tricks. Say the name of your book, though, about tricks. I mean, the videos are great. That's one of the beauties of modern technology. But say the book that has the tricks in it, because I think I learn better by reading something as well as seeing it. So say the name of the book that's got the tricks in it.
It's Agility and Dog Tricks for Dummies. It's part of the Dummies series.
Nice. Agility and Dog Tricks for Dummies. Do people
mind? And then there's tricks in the Puppies for Dummies and Teach Yourself Visually. I love tricks. I love tricks as a means to make everybody happy. And so
yes.
I toss tricks in all my books. But the meat one, the one that has all the tricks and it has fun agility, not necessarily pushing, I don't necessarily push competitive agility, but I call it agility fun. There's Agility and Dog Tricks for Dummies.
Nice.
Bright yellow.
Well,
cheerful,
these are great books to have, great fun to have. We're running out of time, but we're very pleased that we had a call or two, and we love getting your emails, radiopetlady@gmail.com. You can also send your mailing address and get some Whole Life Pet freeze-dried protein treats, quite super tasty as well. And we appreciate any business you can give to the companies that are our sponsors. We believe in them. We love them. They love us.
We love them.
And we want you to give them a try. See how they are. Make them glad that they support this show, because we're very glad to have it here. We're very glad that you're finding us. And we're looking forward to more of the same. And very soon, we're going to find out when our own dear Sarah will be at the pop-up shop. Sarah, you have a great night. Folks, stay tuned in 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of music, and then you'll hear Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney. Thanks, Sarah. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye,
everyone. Bye, everyone.